Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World. This is gonna be the best day.
Privilege to introduce maybe the only president that matters in my world. He is the president of the American Veterinary Medical Association, Dr. John DeJong. How are you, sir?
Good, Steve. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Well, tell us first, for those who don't know, maybe, what the American Veterinary Medical Association is.
Well, the American Veterinary Medical Association, better known as the AVMA, is a professional membership organization of 93,000 members that are all veterinarians, comprising approximately 75% of the veterinarians in the United States, that works advocating for veterinarians on various issues legislatively, providing all sorts of membership benefits for our members, promoting the profession in every way we can, and being a resource for us, much like any other professional organization in the United States.
Sure. And as we
been
move
around
in,
for a long, long time.
Well, the AVMA, not you. And as we move into
as we move into
2019, what might your resolutions be for pets and those who live with pets?
Well, there's a whole bunch of different things. The first thing I would say is preventative care, annual checkups. I would suggest that people make sure that their pets are seen on an annual basis by their veterinarian to make sure that the animal is healthy, much like any person would see their physician for their annual checkup. Make sure that the pet is up to date on vaccines, have blood work done routinely and fecal examinations, and whatever else is necessary to maintain good health for the animal.
So I want to bring up two factors.
That'd be the first.
Two factors about that. One is that talk about why that's important, relevant to the fact that our cats, if we're very lucky, can live nowadays to the age of, say, near 20 or 20-ish. Our dogs, depending on the kind of dog you have, lives maybe 6, 7, 8 years, all the way up to maybe 18 years or so. But that's still nowhere near the human lifespan. And also with cats in particular, they don't usually hold up their paw and say, I'm not feeling well. And with dogs, it's sometimes even hard to tell as well.
You're absolutely correct. And so, you know, it's hard to read their mind sometimes, as you say, and to note that something might be wrong with them. And regular testing, regular examinations, blood work is necessary, is important to sometimes find a subtle change that may be the beginning or the onset of something more serious.
And how,
you know, if you think about the fact that every 1 year for us is sometimes, as some people say, 5, 6, or 7 years for an animal, as you compare the age that an animal can live, a pet can live. Just think that if we had an exam every 7 years to be routinely seen by our physician, what might be missed? And instead, people are living longer lives because they have regular visits. Same holds true for pets.
And the argument sometimes that I hear back from folks, and folks, you can text or call 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200 for the president of the American Veterinary Medical Association right here on WGN Radio. So the argument sometimes that I hear is, well, I know my pet. I know when my pet isn't feeling well. And what I suggest back is that, well, yes, you are a better determiner because you live with that pet every day. So if you're concerned, your veterinary professional really should listen to you. Having said that, until the day comes that you can do blood work in your kitchen and you walk around the house with a stethoscope around your neck, I mean, there are things you cannot possibly know. Would you agree?
Absolutely. I mean, I've often said, much like you do when I'm examining pets in my hospital, I'll tell the owners if they suspect something might be wrong, and you're talking about that when they don't suspect it, but when they do, I'll say, you know, father knows best, mother knows best. But very often, there will be a subtle change going on that they'll be completely unaware of. And it'll take a good examination. Like you said, they don't know whether a heart murmur is developing in the heart. They don't use a stethoscope on their animal. And even people that are physicians sometimes come in and they might think that they know what's going on with their pets. And very often they do, but they may be missing, you know, the obvious or the subtle. So therefore, it's really important that your animal have an annual checkup.
So one of the resolutions I suspect ties in with this question. So along those lines, you live with that pet every day, and especially if it's a cat, but even dogs, and most particularly small dogs, a weight loss, so if you have a dog or a cat that weighs, 13 pounds, losing 3 pounds doesn't seem like a lot, but 3 pounds in, say, a year, that's, I'm not doing the math probably exactly correctly, but that's 12% or so of the body weight. And imagine if you lose 12% of your weight, you're going to notice, you'll pay attention, and you say, oh, something's not right about this. But with our cat losing just a few pounds and we seeing them every day, or dog, it's sometimes very difficult to tell. Is that another reason, yet another reason, to see your veterinarian? Because that weight loss unexplained, well, is actually usually explained in some way, and it's something you want to know about.
Absolutely. It could be due to internal parasites that they've been exposed to outdoors. It can be due to a metabolic disorder. There are many different things that can cause weight loss. And while I think many people would agree that most people, especially in the United States, could probably afford to lose 12 pounds or 12% of their body weight, perhaps, that may not be the case with animals. Having said that, another one of my resolutions would be healthy diet, making sure that your animal is being fed properly, being fed a good diet, making sure that their weight is optimal, making sure that that is balanced with good exercise as well. Those are such important factors that people often overlook. It's often said that the American population may be the most overweight population in the world. I think that can be extrapolated to our animals as well, that our pets are very often overweight as well. So it's very important that a person regularly consult with their veterinarian and make sure that their animal is being fed properly, exercised properly, vaccinated properly, and seen on a regular basis to make sure that their animal is healthy. After all, we love our pets. We want them to live long, healthy lives.
Well, in fact, I mentioned that I'd be talking to you in social media, including on my Facebook fan page. And friends, all you have to do is go to Facebook, if you're on Facebook, and look under Pages, type in my name, Steve Dale, and you can, and I hope you do, like my page. And the question is, how do I get my cat who has grown, and I mean, I believe they mean grown wider and wider with every passing year, how do I get my cat to lose weight? Doctor?
You there, Steve?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. No, I mean, how do they get to lose weight? First of all, consult with your veterinarian. There are various diets on the market that are made to actually help the animal lose weight. Feeding them a little less might be appropriate as well, but you don't want to do that too quickly either, because gaining weight can also be the sign of a metabolic disorder or something else that's underlying in the overall health of the pet that needs to be addressed. So I wouldn't just jump to it right away. I would consult with your veterinarian, make sure that the diet that you might be changing to or cutting back the food amount would be the appropriate thing to do.
Mm-hmm. All right. Very good. And we have some phone calls to get to as well. 312-981-7200. Or you could text that same number. Oh, no. I lost him. So, Maureen, you're on the phone. But I lost the president. I hung up on the president.
Oh, no.
I know.
Oh, no.
I know. I'm in big trouble. I'm going to be court-martialed or something. I don't know quite what to do, except, you know what? You can always do in radio when you don't know what else to do, Maureen.
Well, yeah, right.
You know what you can do? You can break for commercials. And we have to do... Oh, well, you've got him back on the phone? That was fast. All right.
Okay.
Do you want to hook us up, Casera, so I don't know what I did wrong, but that way I won't take a chance. Can you do that? There you go. Dr. DeJong?
Hi, Steve.
I apologize. I was saying on the air, now I'm going to be court-martialed. I hung up somehow on the president. So Maureen, yes. Maureen has a question for you. Go ahead, Maureen.
Well, yes, I inherited this little cat, and when she yawns, one of her bicuspids, a tall tooth, is missing. And I try to give her these little pebbles to control tartar and plaque, but she has a hard time eating those things. Is there something else, doctor, I can give her? I'm not even sure she has a problem with it outside of regular canned food.
Now, how old is your cat?
Well, I've had her about 4 years, doctor. I don't know how old she is, to be honest with you.
Well,
I just inherited her.
The question is, she's missing a tooth. Did it fall out or did it break off? Does she have dental disease in general? Again, I don't know when she was last seen by a veterinarian, but I think having a good oral examination would be appropriate. She may need to have a dental cleaning. She may need some extractions. She might need some dental x-rays to make sure that everything is functioning properly and looks good in the mouth. And the mouth is, I know a veterinary dentist who said to me that the mouth is the entrance to the soul of your pet.
Aww.
And so making sure that everything is normal there, because that can lead to other problems as well. So I would definitely do that. Brushing a cat's teeth would be helpful, but a lot of them don't like it. And so
I tried that, doctor. I can't do it. And those little tiny pebbles you buy at the store, I break them in half because they're crunchy on the outside and soft on the inside, but she still has a hard time.
Well,
you know, there is no panacea, but start with a good oral examination. Steve, weigh in on this, please.
Yeah, so there are certain the other thing is, Maureen, there are certain products, you know, marketers are very good at what they do, marketing their products. And there's a veterinary oral health organization that lists the products that really and truly deal with dental care, but what kind of dental care do you need? At what point? I mean, you don't know the answer to that. So,
of course,
I agree with Dr. DeJong. You need the answer to that. And the only way is to have your cat seen by a veterinarian who says open wide. All right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And one more question, doctor. How severe is matting on the back of her backbone? Was it she gets that hair matting very thick just towards the end of her tail backbone? Is it really that hard and difficult, or is it very stressful for the cat?
I didn't get all the question, but I think if the animal's getting matted up at the back end on top, it might be an overweight cat, because sometimes overweight cats have trouble grooming themselves back there. I would make sure that you brush your cat routinely, because what happens is when the hair gets matted, it's very painful for the cat as well.
If I interrupt you, she doesn't want me to do anything with her. I tried that a couple times.
Well, that's telling you, and then I've got to run here because I've got to hit some commercials here. But your cat might be telling you exactly what Dr. DeJong just said, and that is, I hurt.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Maureen. We'll be right back with the president of the American Veterinary Medical Association, right here on WGN. Steve Dale here, Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN Radio. It is 6:52. Good morning. Lots of texts coming in. I'll try to catch up with as many as I can, including, why don't you do the Schwanee song anymore, Steve? Well, we've run out of Schwanee songs. That's the real reason for that. It says here that the doctor needs a doctor, it sounds like. Well, I hope Dr. DeJong is okay. We'll be right back with the president of the American Veterinary Medical Association. Pets aren't like family. They are family. That's why the doctors and staff at MedVet Chicago are always there when you need them the most. I mean, really, 24/7, they are there. Please, I wish we could ban tinsel. My goal is for MedVet Chicago veterinarians not to work on Christmas. No tinsel, please. Keep your pets away. When you add stuff to that Christmas tree water, don't add strange stuff like birth control pills. I mean, really, you go online, you see the strangest things that you're supposed to add to that water, then the pets drink it. In any case, they are there 24/7 for you at Belmont, Western, and Clybourne, even on Christmas, should you need them. I hope you don't. Keep them out of the chicken bones. Keep them, you know, all that fat or skin on chicken or turkey or ham can cause pancreatitis. Keep them away from all that. MedVet Chicago, 773-281-7110, 773-281-7110, or MedVet for Pets. Dr. DeJong, we just have a couple minutes here, and one is from a texter. One of the questions, my cat, who is about 12 to 15 years old, has lost weight, drinks a lot of water, but always seems hungry. However, the cat seems to have a lot of energy, runs around the house, and seems perfectly normal. What do you think?
First of all, thanks for the callers and people texting and worried about my throat this morning. Got a bit of a head cold. But as far as what do I think, that's a classic sign of potentially something called hyperthyroidism in the cat.
Right.
Typically a older or middle-aged cat that is eating a ton of food, losing a lot of weight, a lot of high energy. It's very often a sign of hyperthyroidism. It's a hormonal or what we call endocrine condition. It can be diagnosed with blood work, and the animal could then have either be put on medication that will control it. There's also a radioactive isotope that can be utilized instead of giving daily medication, so both options are available. In the old days, we used to do thyroidectomies to remove the thyroid gland. We don't do that much anymore. Also, if the animal's drinking a lot of water, it could be the sign of either kidneys starting to go or diabetes. So I would take the cat in to a veterinarian, probably have blood work done, and then take the appropriate steps.
And kidney disease is often associated with hyperthyroid disease, too.
So absolutely.
Definitely see your veterinarian. So we have about 2 minutes left, barely that. One more resolution, sir.
Oh, boy, one more resolution. Well, I mentioned diet already, and I mentioned exercise. I don't think I probably explained those well enough, but I would say besides that, and seeing your veterinarian properly, I would go back to the exercise. When you walk your dog, it's good for you as well. So it's very important that you go out and maintain your own health so that you can maintain your animal's health as well and love your animals. Do what's appropriate. Treat them like a family member because the human-animal bond is so important. And if you do those things, you're going to have a longer, happier, healthier life with your pet.
Well put. Thank you very much. Learn more at avma.org. That's the American Veterinary Medical Association. To you and the First Lady and your entire family, happy holidays to you, Dr. DeJong, and feel better.
Thank you, Steve, to you and your crew as well. Happy holidays and Happy New Year as well.
Thank you. Too bad Dr. DeJong isn't staying on the line for this because I know he'd want to hear, of course, the dramatic reading, which I do annually on WGN. One year I did it with Orion Samuelson in the studio sitting right next to me. Intimidating. But this is a pet's night before Christmas. So get your recorders ready. Is there still such a thing as a recorder? I don't even know. But I do know this is something you need to hear. I want to thank Matt Bubala, who filled in for me last week. Cassara, who I wish happy holidays to you and your family, said he did great. Great. Now I'm kind of worried about things. Here it is. The dramatic reading, A Pet's Night Before Christmas. 'Twas the night before Christmas. And all through the house, not a creature was stirring, especially the mouse, because that mouse knows who's in the house. Oh, there's Fido, there's Fluffy, there's Duchess and King, on Rover, on Scruffy with that squeaky thing. Go by the red hydrant, run past those trees, nothing can stop you, not even the fleas. They heard a tinkling on the roof, you know how reindeer are when you gotta go, the prancing of each little hoof. Then down the chimney, St. Nicholas, he was greeted with a purr, a bark, and a bite on his Nicholas. He came with squeaky toys, rawhide and liver to deliver. His eyes, how they twinkled. His dimples, oh, how merry. When Rover licked his nose, it tasted like sherry. He sprang to his sleigh, and to the team he gave a whistle, or something, and said, "A Merry Christmas to all!" And to all, a good night.